The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, local for 40 years.
Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast, round 19, is it? Kingy?
We're going into round 20, Ben.
It's Kurz Hire. They're all over it anyway. They're all over the podcast.
Now, who is it at Kurz Hire, Benny?
Jason.
Hello, Jared.
Jared. No, yes. I know it's Jared. I was extracting the U on there. No, Jared, he'd be up and about, wouldn't he, Kingy? Can you believe we're saying the words that the Cats are a game clear on top?
No.
After 19 rounds?
No. I went back and had
Should we be surprised?
Yes.
Are we surprised?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes.
Yep.
But, I mean, when you look at it...
They were 5-4, remember? And they were not going great.
No, true. But, I mean, I'm thinking even going back predictions pre-season.
Yes. Like. Now, we're going to play these on grand final day, but I went back and... Did you go back and have a listen?
I had a listen to... Yes, yeah. I did.
So, where'd you have the Cats finishing?
7th.
Yeah, and I had them finishing 7th as well.
Yeah. So, we're a bit out.
Just a tap. Well, if they lost their last 4, they'd drop to 7.
Yes, well, that hopefully doesn't happen. They've worked their way into a position. The one thing they have worked their way into a position, Kingy, is that at the start of the year, and I know this is an absolute intangible and you can't measure it, but coming into the season, externally anyway, and that this probably doesn't mean anything internally, but the expectation was that I think most people, I'd be safe to say, let's say 80% of Cat fans thought they'd make the finals. They'd hope that they'd be around the mark, but you know, it was hope. It wasn't a definite. We're definitely going to be there.
They weren't a dollar. They weren't $1 to play finals.
No, and the expect. Well, I would have thought they were $1 to play finals. I didn't expect them to be in the top 4. Certainly didn't expect them to be on top.
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah, the more you bet, the more you win. But the that's the alternative to monkey. But I know, but you'd always do it responsibly. So you just lash out every now and then. You double up on your percentage. But so what I'm trying to say, King, is that with playing themselves into this position now, suddenly there's real expectation on the Cats, isn't there, to make good on this as to a premiership.
They've got to win the flag now.
So I wonder how internally that, because we've seen, I mean, I know Geelong are very experienced, but we've seen sides crumble under expectation before. Mm. I'm not suggesting Geelong are going to do that, but suddenly it's gone from, okay, we're the, you know, the old line of being the hunter, and now Geelong are the hunted.
Yes.
And the fan expectation from now is to turn this into a premiership.
Yep. Yeah, no flag now is a disappointment.
Yeah, and that's right. So the goalposts have seriously changed. I wonder how players... I know Selwood will handle it well, and Hawkins and all these other players. I just wonder how some of the younger players handle that. Deconing, Stengel.
Well, some of those guys, though, haven't been sort of bruised by what's happened over the last few years.
No, that's right. No, and look...
It's probably the middle group who have been part of, you know, many preliminary final losses that haven't got... So Hawkins, Duncan... Selwood have flag success, but then you got Guthrie, Blitzarves,
Menegola,
Collar, Jasny, Buse,
Tui.
Yeah, Stanley, who have played in a bunch of preliminary final
and haven't
losses.
Haven't been able to get there.
Get there. That's a thing missing off their resume that they'd love to have. But then you've got the likes of, I know Atkins played in the final in 2020 and played in the prelim last year, I'm pretty sure. But then you look at, you know, and Dangerfield's another one too, I suppose, that expectation where he's desperate to play in a flag. But you look at, you know, the likes of Stengel, Collar, Jasny, Holmes, who haven't...
No relation.
No relation.
To Larry.
You know, Isaac Smith's played in premiership, so, you know, just to cap off for his career with a flag would be really nice.
They couldn't... Right as it stands right now, I don't think the Stars could be aligning any better.
Oh, no.
That, and that guarantees you absolutely nothing.
No.
They've got a pretty free injury list. I know Stanley's out for a little bit of time, but other than that, they've got basically everybody who you would want available. A
bloke called Stewart back this week.
Stewart comes back in this week. They've got Parfitt to come back as well.
Yep. And Siegler gets a chance.
Yeah, and with Parfitt's injury, hopefully, I don't think his fitness would have been interrupted too much. So I think that's when you have a leg injury and you're off your leg for a month.
Yeah, it's just that the last week of it, he had the COVID hit, and he didn't play. And there was no VFL last week, so there was nowhere for him to have a hit out last week.
Do you think he'll play this week?
I think they'll send him to the... I think they'll send him to Ballarat on Sunday to play
COVID. Or the Rat.
So for those who don't know, those who might have been planning to go and watch Geelong's VFL on Sunday at GMHBA... they've taken the Cats VFL off there. They're going to they're playing.
Is
in
that
Ballarat.
Because of the track heavy?
Track is heavy. The Cats have been training quite a bit on St Mary's.
What was the penetrometer reading?
Yeah, I know the Clegghammer.
What about the going stick?
The going stick
or the shear? I don't know. Yeah, what
I've got no
they're,
idea.
They're readings yeah. that do appear on racing.
Benny, you are very Bengal today.
Oh, I can't wait.
How long until the first pre-season
early
games?
September. Oh no, pre-season games.
Couple
will be
of weeks.
Happening in. Yeah, mid-August.
Yeah, wow. Mm. So that's only a fortnight away.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And first game.
Unfortunately,
first...
our man's in hospital.
Burrow?
Yes.
What's happened to Joe?
He's had an appendectomy.
Oh, so he's had the appendix out.
He might have been getting a, you know, just, I don't know what he might have been getting. But
he was getting his appendix out, Ben. Yeah, that's was. An appendectomy. That's all they do in an yeah. appendectomy.
He might have done a couple other things.
I wouldn't have thought.
He might have been of a grease and oil change.
Right. But he'll be right for...
Yeah, he'd be right. Yeah,
right.
Okay, I'm nude about the whole NFL yeah, season, yeah, but I'm getting more a little bit.
Are you getting over? You getting over there this summer?
No,
that's disappointing. I might go and watch a couple of games for you.
Yeah, well, I'd love to get over there, but that won't be happening, Kingy. Yeah, but
Minister for Finance and Entertainment.
I did run into a bloke at the pool the other day, right. And he saw me with my Bengals gear on.
Really?
And goes, "Oh, you're looking for the season?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I certainly am." And anyway, he was from Buffalo,
right?
Yeah, and which. Anyone who doesn't, this is probably boring people, but anyone who follows the NFL, the two smallest market teams in the comp are Buffalo and Cincinnati.
Yep.
They're not that far apart from each other. So no. Buffalo is even north of Cincinnati. It's as cold as yep. your mother-in-law's
kids. In New York.
Ex-wife's heart sort of style. So anyway, we had a good chat about it. He was like me, gets up at, he's a bit like Daz. I equated him to Daz Broncos.
Right.
So he's from Buffalo,
yep.
lives here clearly now. We didn't get into where he lives and all that sort of stuff, yeah. but clearly yeah. lives here. And he gets up, subscribes to the NFL Game Pass, gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning and watches Buffalo.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, we had a good yak. I was good to yak to a local American about because some of our bunnies sort of you know
yeah.
they know three players, yeah. Tom Brady and
Patrick Mahomes,
and Devontae Adams and Tyreek yeah. Hill, and after that they've yeah. got absolutely no idea.
Falls away a bit.
Yeah, so
Russell Wilson.
Anyway, it was good to have a chat to someone.
I'm real, actually,
just
I'm real
poolside looking. Too, Norman Banks style. Yeah. Let's go for Australia.
It was Norman May.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Norman Banks.
I think he was the footy caller.
Norman May, I think, was your goal for Australia.
Yeah. And Laurie Lawrence.
88, you know, going absolutely crazy in the stand. I don't know what the Koreans thought when Laurie went nuts when Duncan Armstrong.
Yeah, I don't think they. 88.
Yeah, pulled, 88, Duncan Armstrong.
That was bicentennial.
Yep.
By Jingo, by Crikey, bicentennial.
Mike, what was his name? Oh, he was on. what was his name? He's no longer with us.
Mike.
Who? On. What was his name? He was on My World of Sports with Ian Chappell. Mike Gibson.
Oh yeah, Gibbo.
Gibbo.
Oh yeah. I always, you know, the greatest throw in media history.
Ian, you're on.
No. The greatest throw when someone throwing to someone was when Ken Sutcliffe,
yeah, the former male model from Mudgee,
yeah, used to throw to Ray Warren.
Yep.
And I just used to love it because every time he'd just go, "Thank you, Ken." It was just this extraordinary Barry White sort of arrangement, which I actually love. But
I would love to have heard Ray Warren call AFL,
yeah, very good caller.
I reckon he would have been outstanding at it.
Thank you, Ken.
Because we get to hear Matty Hill call,
yes,
AFL.
I listened to him a little bit last week.
He's outstanding.
Yeah,
his race calling's outstanding. Yeah, the sound of his voice is just yeah.
Looking forward to hearing it when Charlie Rose hopefully crosses the
What's
line.
What's the latest with... Oh, we haven't talked about the great horse
we
yet.
We got off track from footy, but haven't we? She's back in work and been in about 10 weeks, tricking along well. Trialled last week. And
what's her first
Couldn't
up?
Be any better.
What's her first?
To be determined, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you go...
Bit of Laurie Keane, sort of indefinite. No, she's not injured, but we're not sure.
Turnbull?
No, she's not... Oh, no. Turnbull wouldn't be her go. She's probably
too
more,
short, distance-wise?
I think the first aim will be to the naturalism. So the naturalism, you win the naturalism, it's group three.
Straight into the cup.
Straight into the Caulfield Cup.
Right.
Automatic entry. Ballot
exempt.
Yes, so that would be her first mission. And then, yeah, it was a bit exciting because I nominated her for the Melbourne Cup and the Caulfield Cup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you're not doing that with every nag.
Is that Simon's Bugs Bunny that goes with that as well?
No, you have to owners have got to pay that.
Oh, do they?
So $1,100 to nominate for the Caulfield Cup. There's five stages of nomination, though, and five stages with the Melbourne Cup. Last year, it cost the owners about $60,000 to get her to the Melbourne Cup.
They got their Kanga back, though.
Yeah, she won 160 on that day, but yeah. She won 240 when she won here the Geelong Cup.
Oof.
So it was just exciting stuff.
Anyway, so looking
good. The Cats also are looking good. Kingy, what's the...
Joel Selwood.
Yeah, just before we get to Joel Selwood, Reece Stanley out.
Yeah, up to a month.
That's not ideal.
No.
I know, he's not the sort of
bloke. Well, here's their chance to give Segler a bit of a look. Has been building up his form over the last 3 or 4 weeks in the VFL, been playing okay. Then probably just got the fresh.
Just okay, that doesn't.
Better than okay. Probably better than okay. I haven't watched the VFL closely, but you know, his numbers have been pretty solid. He's winning the footy around the ground, which is important because that's what Stanley's been doing. Stanley's been able to get his hands on the footy. So he'd had 12 possessions, Stanley till halftime on Saturday night.
He's playing really well.
Yeah. He likes Adelaide. He plays some good footy.
He was in career best.
Yeah.
He'd strung together some really good games.
Since the... Which game was he? Was it St Kilda game? He wasn't great?
No. He's had a few stinkers. He wasn't great against West Coast, but he has by and large, has been really good playing with intensity. We've spoken about it a few times on this Kerr's Eye arrangement. And I don't know. So he potentially isn't first up again till the final. That's a big call.
That is a big call.
For a bloke who's, I know he's been good, but he's not a bloke I'd be sort of backing in first up. He'd need a run or two.
Mm.
So they're saying definitely 4 weeks.
Well, no, they haven't given a time frame on it. We'll probably get a clearer picture tomorrow. The Cats are never one to give a time frame. They usually...
Do you reckon it might be the sneaky two?
Yeah, I hope so. Well, I said medium. What's short? What do you define as medium? Is medium medium term 3 weeks or medium term 4 weeks?
I would have thought medium's four.
Yeah.
Short is two. Long is six plus.
So what's three?
Three's
short to medium.
Short to medium term.
How do you like your steak? I like it short to medium, thanks.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the skipper?
Yeah, what a champ.
He's been one of us from day dot, from round two, 2007. He debuted in round one. He spoke to K-Rock round two, and ever since he dropped the F-bomb in the post-game interview.
I was holding the microphone when he dropped that in the rooms. And
what was the reaction on his face?
He knew he'd sort of, you know, made a bit of a cock-up, but he soldiered on. And, I mean, it's not the first person to do it. The last has been plenty. Yeah, it was at Marvel, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. So I remember holding the microphone.
I think
they
played the Bulldogs in round one of 2007, and then they played...
It's hard to believe that was 2007.
Yeah.
It's 2022, and he's still going.
Yep.
And I'm still going, which is quite extraordinary.
It was Carlton round two, yeah, at Docklands, yeah. So the Cats won by just a lazy... Well, so this is interesting. They beat the Blues by 78 points in round two, and we know that the Cats were 2-3 after five rounds in 2007, and, you know, Bomber Thompson...
North down here.
Bomber Thompson jobs all over the place. You know, Paul Chapman came out and obviously said what he said post-round five, and a bloke called Selwood's only five games into his career. He had 17 possessions in that game, kicked one goal, one laid, three tackles. Matty Egan's, I think, going to join us pre-game on Saturday night, which will be really interesting because he was there. He was down in defence and, you know, watched this young kid come in who has just, I don't know, he's a model citizen. Has he ever done, he might have had a little stint where he had to ride the bike to and from training. I think he gets done speeding.
That's his only chance.
I think that's about the only time that we could ever fault Joel Selwood in life.
Yeah, he's been a model citizen. He does a lot for the Geelong community. You know, the fact that he was a Geelong supporter as a kid is, you know, mate, he and Hawkins both broke for Geelong. And to be living it out for them is, and for Geelong fans, it's been an unbelievable ride. You probably won't realise how good it's been until they're gone, because then you're not going to replace those blokes in a hurry, if at all, I would have thought.
Well, so the good
it may be another 20, 30 years before you get a combination that comes through that plays, you know, to that level for that period of time. It may not happen again.
Yep. So they'll play their 300th together on Saturday night, Selwood and Hawkins. They're only behind Tyson Edwards and Andrew McLeod, I think, played 307 together.
They'll go past that.
Yeah, they might do it on... They could do it on Grand Final Day? No, they'll do it. They'll equal it on Grand Final Day if the Cats had to play every final.
So Hawkins has definitely said that he's playing
on. He said on Tuesday that he
would
play.
And Joel's obviously just leaving things open, but you would have thought...
If he captains a premiership team, I reckon he might say, I'm done.
Yeah, I don't know. What would he do?
Oh, what wouldn't he do?
I know he'd have a plethora of things to do, but he loves the game so much that I don't know that it would be an easy decision. I mean, some guys are ready for that. I don't know whether he lives, breathes, and eats football, K-Rock style. So I don't know whether it would be an easy decision for him to walk away. So, but, I mean, only he could answer that. But, I mean, he wouldn't be – I don't think he'd be worrying about that right now. He'd just be focused on trying to win a premiership and then make a decision, you know, post that. But the form he's in, he didn't have a great game last week against Port, nor did Dangerfield. But he
– Yeah, so Dangerfield apparently had some back issues, according to some reports.
Starting to break down a lot, Patrick Dangerfield, isn't he?
His body's copped a battering.
Yeah, the way he plays is probably
that
not
combative nature.
Conducive to an extraordinarily long career, which he has probably had. But he's starting to sort of – you know, find it more and more difficult, I think, to get up each and every week. And, I mean, we've seen it this year. When he isn't at 100%, he's probably never going to be 100%, but when he's not at 95% plus, he's very much, he comes back to the pack very, very quickly.
The Geelong team in round one, 2007.
Oh, absolute.
Two Ablets. Yeah. Bartell, Blake, Chapman, Corey, Egan, Enright, Gardner, Harley, Hunt, D. Johnson, Ling, Mackey, Milburn, Mooney, Ottens, Prismal, Scarlett, Tenace, Wojcinski.
Some good players in there.
That's a fair.
Tenace and he was a gun. Tenace and who else was it? There was a couple of others. Made me chuckle.
Charlie Gardner.
Yeah. Oh, Charlie Gardner.
Other than that, though...
He's at Sydney now. Is like some sort of footy manager.
Yeah. The only ones that weren't premiership players in that team...
Prisoner was in there. Yeah. Good fella, Ben Prisnell, until he did his knee.
So Egan didn't play in a flag. Gardner didn't play in a flag. David Johnson didn't play in a flag. Prisnell didn't play in a flag. Tenace didn't play in a flag. So no. I think there were 16 premiership players that day.
Tenace used to play in the flags in the intra-clubs. He used to burn in the intra-clubs.
Yep.
And you'd just get a twinge that, you know, I think he was picked 7 in his draft. Mm-hmm. And Jared Healy anointed him as the next greatest thing in the game when he had 16 bounces and kicked that goal over in Perth in about his first or second game. And he never really got going at all after that. He was out the Dorsky. He ended up playing the twos for St Mary's.
Yeah, it was the Fremantle game. It was his fourth game round five.
He kicked a goal, and Jared can go. You know, gets a little bit sort of over media excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him saying that this is one of the greatest things he'd ever seen, and this kid was going to win 8 Brownlows and play 4,000 games. And a few years later, he was out the door. Yeah. He was gone.
So the skipper, we could dedicate hours upon hours about talking about the skipper and how good he is, but it would be fitting that if he could captain a premiership team, and whether that would be the curtain for him if he did that. But I think that's every Geelong supporter would, you know.
Let's hope he's got that to contemplate, Kingy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, he's been a... I'm more thinking of just, you know, off the field as well. He's pretty much the complete... Well, he is the complete package. He was captain at a very young age. He was a country boy.
He was captain at 22.
Yeah, and we don't get to see... 23. You know, we don't get to see a different side of him. I think there is certainly a different side of him, a real sort of fun... I mean, Tom Lonigan, speaking to him, who lockered next to him for 1,000 years, you know, he used to say that there was a real side to Joel that he kept behind closed doors, and he had to. He was the captain of the footy club, so he always kept his captain face on whenever he was out, and which is 100% what you need to do. But behind closed doors, he could have a bit of a joke and a bit of a laugh, and he's quite a different character to the one that I think fans know. They see him as probably, you know, real serious... sort of personality, which I think he is when he's focused on his football, but there is a different side to him that we don't often see. So, he's been unbelievable for Geelong Football Club and the competition as a whole. And I'm sure some of the players all of them will want to make sure that, you know, Saturday night is a win, none more than Joel.
Yep. Question for you. Say Joel pulled the pin. So he finishes on about 355 games. Does Hawkins break that record?
What's he on?
He's on 320.
I'd say yes. I'd say he's got another 2 years Hawkins.
So he plays to 36.
I reckon.
Yep.
I don't see him slowing up.
So that gets him to probably 300.
Especially with Cameron in tow.
So that gets him to about 360-odd games and... Well, 800-odd
goals. I think, Joel, if I was having a little lobster on it, I'd be betting on him playing on next year.
Joel.
Even if they win.
Yep. So which means he'll hold the record. You would think he'd probably then put it beyond Hawk catching him.
Yeah.
He's a season and a bit in front of him.
Correct.
We've been blessed, though. So Geelong have 6 players who have played 300 games, and that's Selwood, Enright, Hawkins and Bartell all in the last 15 years.
Oh, it's just... And, I mean, that team... of 07 through to 11. I mean, that was just next level.
Yep.
They had, what, 15 All-Australians in that team.
Mm. So next in line, Duncan on 253, Guthrie 223, Blitzarth 221. Does Duncan play 300? Does he get two? You'll get two more years out of himself and get to 300, you'd think.
Oh, he'd need to play every game.
Yep.
So I don't know whether... I don't know. I think he'll get close. I think he might be a bit of a sort of a Darren Milburn.
292.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be betting on that. I mean, I hope he does, but I think just, you know, he has had a few injuries here and there. He's been good this year, but the odd calf pops up.
You think Guthrie and Blitzarth...
Guthrie will get to 250. They're not going to get 300.
No. Guthrie's 30, nearly 30, and Blitzarth's... Oh, Guthrie, you'd probably...
Oh.
If he finishes this year on, save the cats, he finishes this year on 230.
Chinese dentist.
And then Mark Blitzarves is 221, but he's a year older.
Yeah, he didn't start till he was 40.
22 he was. 22 and 4 days he was when he started. Bulldogs is an interesting one.
They played well last week. I watched that game.
It was that was one of the games of the year. Yeah, there's been some good footy over the last month.
They were exceptional, the Bulldogs. They looked to be gone a couple of times and refused to lie down. They've got a really dangerous midfield. And, you know, Norton flying for the ball. The one area where I think Geelong hopefully can maybe get them is their defence.
I reckon we talked about that when we played each other eight weeks ago.
Keith goes to Hawkins and he's serviceable. He's actually probably a little bit on the underrated side, Keith, but...
Keefe.
Done himself a mischief. And then Gardner probably goes to Cameron. Mm. I like that matchup for the Cats. Mm. So I'd like to see them try to isolate that as much as they could. But, and I don't know that their defence is up to containing some of the best forward lines in the competition, which Geelong has. Now, Melbourne probably hasn't, although Melbourne was still able to kick 100 points.
Mm.
So... I think their midfield is the area of concern. If Geelong's midfield plays well, I think they win because, you know, you've got to counter Bonampelli, McRae, Liberatore, Dunkley. Is Treloar injured?
Treloar came off, but I haven't had an update on whether he'll play or not.
Yeah, he did come off. And they've been playing him a little bit off half-back, Treloar.
He had it 28 times before he came off.
But they do, yeah, he's just an accumulator. I think, you know, another really big test for De Koning on Norton. Norton's a, he can do anything, Norton. Mm-hmm. But they don't have, Bruce has come back into the side and can hardly get a kick. Maybe he's better that he's got a few games now under his belt.
Treloar's listed as a test, Benny.
The old test?
Yep.
What sort of test?
Well, fitness.
So, look, it's a big night for Geelong. I'll be busting their boiler to win on a milestone for the skipper. Probably he's come at a good time, Kingy, that I reckon. Mm. It's hard to win this many games in a row. Mm. Just to have something, and I know once you run out there, I think it means absolutely nothing. Players don't think, I'm going for this ball, I need to try a little bit harder because it's Joel's 350th game. But I just think it's come at a good time to give them... sort of an intangible motivating factor to sort of get yourself up again.
Yep.
And I know people say, you shouldn't need to get yourself up. You're getting paid a lot of money to play AFL footy. And I understand that. But just something that's in the periphery, no doubt there'd be highlights package of Joel. I saw the little thing between Hawkins and Selwood when they, you know.
On the Cats.
Yeah, which was absolutely fantastic. If you haven't seen it, have a look. So just a little intangible in terms of motivating them after winning 9 on the trot, back at home. Yeah, you know, there'll be a good crowd there, a healthy crowd. So I just think it's come at a really good time for them.
Just in terms of the Cats injury list, Benny, you talked about it being small. So Conway concussion test, Evans knee test, Higgins knee to be confirmed. But I think he was hoping that he would play, not in the VFL this week, but next week. Flynn Kroger's season's over with a knee. Sam Inegola concussion test, Stanley knee, Cooper White groin to be confirmed. So the Cats in terms of their core, probably 25 to 28, other than Stanley and maybe Higgins.
Higgins is break in case of emergency now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I think.
I think, I hate to say this, but if he's playing, Geelong are probably in trouble.
Yep.
And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but he's probably fallen so far down the pecking order now that he's also been out injured. Geelong are going so well that I just wouldn't see him getting back in. I think they might even throw the roll of dice with someone like a Francis Evans in front of Higgins.
Segler for Stanley?
Well, that's the option. And I think they'd probably be smart and wise and discerning and all those things, Kingy, to give Segler a run. I don't think he's the answer, but to get a few senior games under his belt in case he's required in the finals, I don't think would be the silliest move of all time.
Stewart comes in. Who goes out?
Oh, geez. We've spoken about this quite a bit on this Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast and on K-Rock Footy. Who goes out? Well, I think we just from outside, we just look at it and think, who's the player who is, you know, least in form? And we say, oh, he's got to come out. I think the footy club probably looks at it and thinks, what role does Stewart play? What roles does he have around him? And which players best suit, you know, those roles? Not necessarily the actual pure form of the player. So in saying that, I'd say that it's clearly between O'Connor and Guthrie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that, okay, I'll have a bet here. I'll say they'll take out Zach Guthrie.
Right.
That would be my guess.
Not O'Connor. Okay. Your reasoning?
I think they'll think O'Connor is a little more experienced, potentially has a few more strings to his bow in terms of being able to go into other areas of the ground if he's required. And he plays potentially a more of a negating role in defence where you potentially don't want him getting the ball a whole lot, but he can go and lock onto someone, particularly a smaller forward. I'm not saying Zach Guthrie can't do that, but I just think that they'll go with the bloke who's got the 30 or 40 more games experience under his belt.
All right.
And I'll probably be 100% wrong.
Yeah, we are recording this at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, so the team comes out. Some of you will be listening to this after the team's come out. Let's see how close to the mark Benny is. Do you want some questions, Benny?
I love them.
Right, and what do we got here? Let's start with Son of God 29. Gents, hi-ho, hi-ho, the Cats have won 9 in a row. That has to be one of the best years' wins for the year. Interstate crowd against us, Port coming home like a freight train. We stood up, Atkins close, outstanding along with Hawk and Jezza.
Yeah.
Gee, how good's Tommy Atkins been?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with all that. I thought Geelong were Gonski, and I read a few things on social media sort of saying that maybe in the past that would have been a game Geelong lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they found a way. And it was interesting. Did you think Atkins deserved the... both coaches gave him best on ground. And I don't even know if the coaches do it, to be honest with you. Probably, you know, someone down in the catch shop does it. But did you think he was best on ground across the four quarters?
No, not across the four quarters. He influenced the game the most.
Yeah, so maybe that's where it counts. I just was a little... Not saying anything wrong with it. I just was surprised that both coaches gave him best on ground.
Who was Geelong's
best? When he'd only had 12 possessions in the first three quarters.
Who was Geelong's best four-quarter performer, Benny?
That's a very good question, Tom. Best four-quarter performer? I thought maybe Cam Guthrie. I don't know. Look, I'm just splitting hairs here, but I did think it was a little bit weird that for a bloke only touched the ball 12 times in the first three, gets 12 in the last when the game's on the line. So that probably counts for more, but he got the 10.
With Stanley going out before finals, this looks like the year we have a real AFL senior quality backup in the ruck position. Segler might just be the man for the job.
Yeah, you just got to play him and get some game time, see how he goes. And, I mean, if he was to absolutely burn, then Reece Stanley would be Bruce Nankervis.
This weekend should be about the Skipper's 350th. If it's a big if he was to hold up the cup at the end of the year, would he be the greatest Cat ever?
Look,
Gaz Senior is probably on a different level, but for sheer guts and leadership, I'd have Joel on par with the great man.
If you're
going talent, it's the two Ablets. Yeah, and maybe others before Joel.
Gary Senior, then Light Years, the next one.
But if you talk, well, it's probably Light Years to Junior. But when it comes to impact on the club, influence, and it's easy to look, at right now because we're living in it. Now, you go back 100 years ago, there's probably somebody that was the Joel Selwood of the era for Geelong.
Yeah.
That we, you know, well, Reg
just wasn't the exposure.
Yeah, Reg Hickey's influence on the club, probably more as a coach than as a player, but he was a very good player as well.
Bobby Davis.
Bobby Davis, you know. So there's, you know, Polly Farmer.
Everything's so more exposed now with the way the media is. I'm not very big on, in fact, I'm not big at all on, you know, who's lists. Better or who's, you know, they're all great in their own way, and Joel will go down as one of the great Cats of all time. I don't really I don't see the point in saying, well, he's better than him or he's worse than him. And, you know, if I'm going to the football, if somebody says to me, the only question I'm definitive on, if someone says to me, give me one player you will go and play Man City all the time, but Gary Albertini.
Yeah.
It's not even close to the next bloke.
Daz Bronco, it's good to see him back. Veritable plethora of riches we have this week. Selwood 350th, the ultimate warrior and leader from the front, gets the 350 in at home. Forget Skywalker, how about the rise of Atkins? The repeated endeavour of the self-professed 26th player on the list. Fringe bloke that says he owes it to the VFL blokes to keep cracking in every chance he gets and delivers. You cannot buy that mindset and perspective, and he's killing it.
Yeah, yep, I agree, concur wholeheartedly with all that.
Yep. Neil gets another look in, didn't look totally out of place in finals like pressure, all he can ask of a second gamer.
Yeah, would they leave Segler out and leave Neil in?
No, I think they want to play Segler.
I think they do too.
Yep.
So Neil's out, Segler in.
Yeah, well, Chris Scott did say last week
Stewart in, and someone out.
Yep. Chris Scott did say last week that John Segler would come into the frame this week to play AFL. Little did he know that it would be more than necessary because of the injury to Reece Stanley. Close, Stengel, Henry, Kolodziejczyk, Zuthrie, Buse all getting it done and playing the role they need to. Dangerfield hardly cited, but it's okay. Good luck naming a better bottom six rolling around at the moment. Can we rest Blitz? He's going to need one before the finals and it has to happen. Who else do you have on the must rest list? I'd add Selwood, Close, Stengel and Cameron. Stengel's an interesting one because Stengel hasn't played this much.
Yeah, he's 23.
AFL footy. Do you look to get him a breather? Just keep him rolling.
I would have. I mean, he's not a young player. I mean, he's youngish, but he's had
young in terms of experience.
Yeah,
though.
He is. But he's had some pre-seasons under his belt. He's come in with a season of footy under his belt, senior footy in terms of games. Hmm. I wouldn't be very very reticent to be giving him a rest. I'd maybe consider giving De Koning one more rest.
Yep.
Potentially.
Is there a couple? Maybe by the time Gold Coast aren't right, Gold Coast maybe cooked by round 22, you might not be putting some blokes on the plane.
Well, they've got Marby or Chol and Casbolt. So, yeah, look.
But if you're by round 22, you're a lock for one or two.
Yeah.
And they're done.
Yep. I just think, I mean, only he could answer this. We're only just surmising from the outside. We've got no idea, but he's only a young player, certainly in his first year of senior football. You want him as fresh as he can be. Maybe that's one more rest for him. You know, Selwood, does he get another rest? Does Mitch Duncan get a rest? I don't know if I'd be resting Cameron and Hawkins. I think the way they're going, I don't know. I don't see them resting. They've never rested Hawkins before. I don't know if they're going to start now. And Cameron, he's just got continuity in his football. I wouldn't be resting those guys. No. But there are three or four that I'm certain I'll look at. And, I said Duncan, De Koning, Dangerfield. What we've seen, maybe he is now at the stage of his career when he is much better fresh. So maybe get him fresh. Do you maybe not play him in the West Coast game? Give him 2 weeks to get right for the first final?
Yep.
And try and get him as fresh as you can possibly have him for one tilt? Do you even give him 3 weeks? Because he was good first up off the spell,
yep,
and it's progressively got worse.
Yep.
So he might be one of those, like the old horse parlance, you just freshen him up, but that might be a 3 week freshen up. I'm only guessing, it's probably unlikely, but he seems to be better now when he's fresh.
Yep. Howler 41, great win by the Cats. Port started like a house on fire. The fact we halted momentum and didn't let them get a big lead was a plus. Third quarter certainly a concern, but to win her in a real fit finals type intensity bodes well. Rowan kept Delia out of the game whilst impacting himself. Tough call to have Neil as sub than have him ruck when he's barely rucked at VFL level. To come back and win with not a huge input from danger, Selwood was great. Tom Atkins is having a heck of a season. Dogs this week, the King takes the Cosmonaut. Henry to Jamara and Kolodziejczyk to take Bruce.
Yeah, I don't mind all those.
Greatest captain, plays 350 games this week. Hated by other club fans, but they'd take him all in their side in a heartbeat. Anyone who says they wouldn't have him clearly had a frontal lobotomy. He's hoping for a Cats win for the graft man. I think he meant great man.
Yep.
Then we can all get the ointment out.
Oh, yeah, love the ointment. We'll need ointment.
And Cat is 28. Can't believe I'm saying this, but we could have unearthed our next captain. Could we have unearthed our next captain? The way T. Atkins goes about it is very reminiscent of the 14. I think Tom Stewart is the next captain of the club.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Tommy Atkins, he's playing really well, but to be talking of him as captain, I think would be you'd be you'd be what they would call a racing, mother racing parlance king over racing.
Yeah. Benny, we've got a big pre-game. Ian Cove is going to join us. Yeah. Could have been champion, but there's going to be an article on K-Rock Footy in Saturday's Addy, about our 90th anniversary. So he's going to do a bit of history there.
Fantastic.
And have a chat to us about that. Troy Selwood's going to join us in the box.
Yes.
Have a chat.
He's not going to kick us off air again.
No, he's not. And he's going to come in and have a chat to us, which would be fantastic. And Matty Egan, I believe, is going to join us as well.
Oh, this is jam-packed.
So it's going to be a big pre-game.
I've got to get home, Kings. I'm in trouble at home.
Oh, yeah, why?
Well, I accidentally handed the... What? Why are you laughing?
Because your voice changes when it becomes a joke or a story that you know you shouldn't be telling. So I reckon I'm going to leave it here.
No, this is clean as a whistle. I accidentally handed her...
Marianne?
No. Yeah, I handed her a glue stick instead of a chapstick. She's still not talking to me.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, local for 40 years.